Hallelujah.
Good to see Brandon with us this morning. Brandon, welcome, man. Glad you're here. I'd like to show a little video. It's you know, it's Sanctity of Life Sunday. And every year around this time, the nation, this is the anniversary of Roe versus Wade, and the church has kind of used this time to have a Sunday, Sanctity of Life Sunday, to mourn for that loss and challenge us to a battle against it. And just show that video if you would. Each one special. You're special this morning. Made in the image of God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm very excited to share the word of the Lord with you this morning. I want to incorporate some things about the sanctity of life into my message. And but I also want to start a new series today on the kingdom of God. And this is something that has been on my heart for decades, and I'm trying to learn to understand it, but I can remember my early teenage days reading the Gospels, and when the Scriptures were becoming alive to me, always hearing about Jesus speaking about the kingdom of God, and I'm thinking, what is this? There's something to this. And I remember the best man in my wedding, Jerry Kaiser, and I sitting down and talking about it, and discussing it, and and having more questions than answers, and I just had this intrigue in my heart, and I've never preached on it until now. And I just feel the sense that it's time. You know, as I've grown older, your perspective changes. You see more bigger picture things. You know, we just did the thing on generations. When you're young, you kind of look at what's before you immediately and maybe a little ways out. But as you approach the fourth quarter of your life, you kind of look at what have I left behind me? What is going ahead of me? And you get a bigger perspective in life. At least I have. And this is what the kingdom of God, I want to start with a big picture perspective of that. And you know, when I do a series, I always research a lot, and I usually pull from certain very trusted people. And there's not really a whole lot out there on it from the trusted people that I know. There's a few sermons and stuff, but I have found some things over the years and stuff. But George Eldon Ladd is a guy that I'm using. Dr. Miles Monroe, Patrick Schrainer. These are three resources that I'm using. And, Paul Okanuski shared with us last week about it. And I'd asked him to preach, and he said, well, what are you preaching on? I said, well, I had been preaching on generations, and then we got into Christmas and said, so I'm kind of between series if you want to do something new. I said, I'm going to be preaching on the kingdom of God. And he got intrigued, and he shared last week with us some things, which I thought was excellent. And I want to start off on this, the kingdom of God. Is that, go to the next slide. Okay. That's not showing up right for some reason. Anyway, it's good enough for right now. I'll figure it out afterwards. You ever notice when you're at a family gathering or something, it doesn't have to be a family gathering, it can be most anywhere, that religion and politics are interesting subjects? We've all noticed that, haven't we? You are bringing a belief system and moral judgments together when you talk about religion or politics. And that's why it's so volatile. You are touching what people really believe and the morals of things. Did you know the word church? Jesus said, I will build my church. That Greek word is ecclesia, ecclesia. It means called out ones. It is not what we would say a religious word. It is a political term. The ancient Greeks, their Senate, which is like our president's cabinet, the Senate was called ecclesia, the same word that Jesus used for the church. It's a political term. And it means called out ones. And so what would happen was the king would call out ones, and he would say, you get to know me close enough that you fulfill my strategy. President has a cabinet. They're close to him. They should know his heart, his strategy. Jesus said, I will build my church. I will build on my called out ones that are close enough to me that they understand me and my strategies, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Hallelujah. You're a called out one. So, government, when we think of the term government, most of us think of negative things. Red tape, confusion, chaos. I mean, just look at, some of you people have been out of work for over 30 days now because of of loggerheads up there that can't get along. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. But it's not what God intended for government. Government is of God. God instituted government. He is the author of government. He is the author of mankind. You can see whatever is under attack tremendously these days, you can say, probably look at it and say, God authored it, that's why it's under attack. Hallelujah. Gender identity, it's image of God, it's under attack. Evolution against creation, it's under attack. Men, we've got toxic masculinity, we're under attack. You just look, that's just the way the world system is. But government is instituted by God, and it's for a purpose. It brings order, it brings peace, it brings safety, it brings infrastructure into our lives, and it all starts because that's what God is about. And so a divine, invisible government spoke over a chaotic place and said, "Let there be light." And he brought his government, and order came. Hallelujah. And it's important. It's important in families. God set up government, order, and structure for families. And they're under attack. They're being torn apart. Schools have government. Churches have government. We have a civil government. We have a personal government. And when it breaks down, it's because we are made for government, and when it breaks down, it brings chaos into our lives, and it becomes a tool that Satan uses to destroy us. You agree with that? Government is inherent in your life. You are made to operate from government, from being governed properly. It's inherent in you. Genesis 1:26 says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion," governmental word, "dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Adam and Eve were created to have dominion. Dominion. That's be a ruler. To govern the earth. The original purpose and plan of God, and this is where the big picture stuff comes in, on the kingdom of God, is that God is king. He is king over all the earth. The earth is his footstool. He is a king. And this king said, "I'm going to make something." And he created the earth. He created the heavens. He created the earth. And then he said, "I want to extend my kingdom to the earth. And so I'm going to put representatives from me, made in my likeness, and they will have dominion over the earth." And so the king said, he made it, he owns it, and he says, "I want representatives of mine to be down there to govern it." The word colony, a colony, is a good word in this thought here. A colony is a country or an area that's under the political control of another country. I have had the pleasure of going on a couple of cruises in the Caribbean, the Eastern Caribbean, the Western Caribbean, these little islands around there. If you've never done it, I encourage you to do it. It's a lot of fun. It's warm. This will be a great time of the year to go. And but you go to these islands, and you'll see different influences in that island, depending on who has governed them. For example, Cuba was colonized by Spain years and years and years ago. The king of Spain went, took dominion over Cuba, and now Cuba has Spanish influence. Of course, when Castro rose up, they rebelled against that. But years ago, King of Spain took over Cuba. France took over Haiti. Great Britain took over the Bahamas. And so what happened is each of those countries that brought dominion over these islands extended their influence into those areas. And that's why, when Cuba is dominated by Spain, Cuba does not go to Spain. Spain goes to Cuba. You with me? Haiti doesn't go to France. France goes to Haiti. Great Britain doesn't go to the Bahamas. Bahamas doesn't go to Great Britain. Great Britain goes to the Bahamas. They colonize it. They send a governor from the native land to the place they are taking dominion over, and they tell that governor, extend my influence into that place. And that's why, if you go to the Bahamas, they speak English, because Great Britain speaks English, and they drink tea, and they drive on the left-hand side of the road. Because the king said, I want them to do down there what we do over here. I want them to speak my language. I want them to drive like we do. I want them to talk like we do. I want them to enjoy the things that we enjoy. And so God wants to colonize the earth. So he created man. And he said, I want to extend my influence to this creation of mine. Hallelujah. And that was man's job. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air. So, earth does not go to heaven. Heaven comes down to earth. Jesus taught us the model prayer. Pray in this manner. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom be done on earth as it is in heaven. The king is saying, my influence, I want it to be on the earth. Pray. Jesus said, pray that that influence from heaven will come and be on the earth. The kingdom. Hallelujah. Now, when colonies rebel and they declare their independence, it is usually always with consequences. Because when you declare your independence, now the homeland says you get your own food, you find your own shelter, you get your own protection, you get your own safety. And that's what man did when he rebelled. He broke off. The connection, the influence that God wanted to have was broken. It was a fall. It was broken. And the governor became a slave. Who was the governor? Adam and Eve were the governors. They became slaves. And ever since that time, man has been attempting to replicate government. Because it's inherent in our lives. It's desires that are in us. It's just like a man has an innate desire to protect his family and provide for his family, and it's under attack. All of us have innate desires to govern, and this thing of have dominion is in our lives. It's innate. It's inherent in us. And you, in your life, seek to have dominion. To take control. It's an innate desire that Satan wants to corrupt, and that's what governments have been doing all through the ages. Man's government is either by choice or force, by vote or by violence. Let's just look at a few of them. Earthly kings, okay? Not God the king, but earthly kings. You are a king that you are not voted to be a king. There's no vote taken. You are king by, you're just an heir. You're an heir to the throne. Poor Prince Charles. You know what I'm talking about? Queen Elizabeth, what is she, 92, 93? Still kicking. Her son is the prince. He's supposed to be the king. She might live longer than him. He may never see it. Duke William might be the next king. But you know in England who the next person on the throne is going to be, not because they will be voted in, but only by birth, because they are heirs to the throne. When earthly kingdoms first started, it was when agriculture was dominated the economy. And if you owned land, you had power. The more land you owned, the more power you had. That's where we get terms like real estate. He had a real estate. That's where that comes from. Terms like landlord. You were a lord over land. See, Westerners, 21st century Americans, we don't get a lot of stuff because we've been raised in a democracy. But a king, he would say, I own land. I'm a king because I own land. And if you own enough land, you will become the king. You will have a kingdom. You will have a king's domain. That's what kingdom is, a king's domain. You have amassed enough land that you are a king and you own it. There is no private property. Everything is owned by the king. You have nothing. You work the land, and whatever you get is by the pleasure and the mercy of the king. Hopefully you have a good king. And kings like to show off their kingliness by having lots. And benevolent kings like to lavish their lots on other people. And so those kinds of things, you know, if you got a good king, you enjoy the benefits of his kindness. If you have a bad king, you're in trouble. And so a king wielded tremendous, tremendous power that we are not used to as Americans. We have our rights. When the Bible was written and kingdoms were in place, it was different. You were a citizen of a kingdom, and it was up to the king. He controlled it all. Remember when Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer, and he hears about Jerusalem, that it's the walls are broken down, the temple is destroyed, it's burned up, and he's sad, and he tries to get himself together, and he goes in the presence of the king, and the king says, Artaxerxes says, what is the matter with you? You are sad. Why are you sad in my presence? I mean, you weren't even supposed to be sad in the presence of the king. Much less speak harshly to him. And you read it, Nehemiah 1 and 2. He basically says he tried to compose himself. He said a little prayer. And he says, you know, humbly, I'm distressed because of what's going on in my motherland, Jerusalem. My homeland. And the king says, what can I do for you? And Nehemiah says, well, I'd like to go there and investigate it and see what I could do. And the king says, you can do it. I will finance you. And then, what else can I do for you? Well, can you write me some letters so that when I get to these different areas where the governors are, you're the king, but there's governors that are removed from you with enough distance that they wield power that you might not hear about, will you give me letters that I may pass safely? Yep, you got them. And wherever he went with this king's letter, he comes up to be harassed. King, he got there. What else can I do for you? Well, could you write a letter to, it gives you his name, he's over the forest, to give me the timber that I need? Yep, it's done. The power of the king, without question, it was done. Hallelujah. But see, these bad kings come along, and people begin to rebel and say, we don't want a king. You know, Israelites, They wanted a king. We want a king like other nations. God was saying, don't, no, you don't want to do that. All right, you want a king, I'll give it to you. Because God knew he was the king. You want a king, I'll give it to you. We'll get into that later. Not today, much later. You see, dictatorships have risen up, which are, you know, you think of a dictator, you think of something characterized by greed, a tyrant, a taker, rigged elections. It's a reaction to a king. It's a this overthrow kind of thing happens, and a dictator has concentrated power in one person, but he rules over people with a strong hand. We see communism. It's a form, you know, where they repossess all the land. They take all the private property, and the state distributes it. And, you know, one of the things that people in communist land say, we pretend to work, and they pretend to pay us. Socialism is another government that's popped up. It's where it substitutes the state for the king, where the thought is cooperation and not competition guides the economy. And they take the money and they redistribute it to the masses. We're seeing that influence happening here in America with AOC, as they call her. But Margaret Thatcher said it really good. The trouble with socialism is that eventually you run out of other people's money. So I don't want to get into those politics, but then democracy is one that rose up. We will be of the people, for the people, and by the people. It's a reaction to other forms of government. It says, get rid of one man rule and let's have a series of checks and balances and a majority vote, you know, to institute people that will come in there and represent us. And this is why it's difficult for us to grasp certain things in the scriptures. We have to move out of our 21st and 20th century American democracy thinking when you read the Bible. The Bible is a Eastern influence, not a Western influence. Our culture is very different from when the Bible was written. We are Westerners. We believe in democracy. We believe in independence. We believe in self-determination, individuality, personal responsibility. And we were blessed. God blessed us. We are one of only two countries that I know of that was founded to serve God. Israel was one, and we were. Therefore, God blessed us. Even though we don't have a king that we say is God, we developed a source of government or a political government that tries to say we want to honor God. That's the way it was built. But John Adams said, our second president, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. Democracy will not survive in an immoral society, and we're seeing it breaking down all the time. And so what's happened? America has lost its moral compass, and we're seeing the breakdown in our society. We don't see, majority rule is subject to the values of the majority. We, the people, become, you know, we are God. What the most of us believe is what's going to become the laws in the land. Well, let me tell you, the laws of the land are not necessarily God's law. You know that. We don't see anything, words like our founding fathers had, that said divine providence. Guide us. God, guide us. You don't see that kind of thing. The majority vote can be the wrong vote. And in the Bible, the majority, I mean, you look at the Bible, the majority is hardly ever right. If you find one, show me. But the majority is usually wrong. And this is where we live in. That's why marriage gets redefined. We lash out and we hurt people that are supposed to be protecting us, and we protect those people that want to hurt us. It's crazy. That's why a mother's choice trumps innocent life. Because the mother's choice is, we have said, is more valuable than the life in the womb. Why is that? Because we voted. We sent people up there, our system, because we've lost our moral compass. So we need to realize that a true king, God is king. Beloved, listen to me. This shakes us as Americans and as Christians. It shakes us. God is not voted in and out of power. We don't make him king. He is the king. Now, do you acknowledge his kingship? That's where your question comes in and my question comes in. We don't make him king. He is the king. He has absolute power. He does not consult with the Congress. He owns it all. He is the king by virtue of this. I made it. It's mine. And I'll do with it whatever I want. He owns it. You don't own, and I don't own nothing. He owns it all. We're stewards. We're governors over what he has given us. And we serve at the pleasure and the mercy of the king. He's a benevolent king. Aren't you glad? He has not judged us according to our sins. Jesus came along and said, the king has ultimate authority. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not do the things that I say? So, when Adam and Eve rebelled, like a colony that says we're going to do our own thing, they went from governor to slave. But let me tell you, Jesus came to get it back. Aren't you glad for that? That's why when Jesus came, people would say to him or about him, he speaks as one that has authority. It was something about him. When he spoke, it was different than when you and I speak. Well, that's because he's king. He has that authority. He came and he said, you've heard this said, but I say. It impacted people. When Jesus was before Pilate, he said these things. Pilate spoke to him, and Jesus answered in John 18, 36. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. From here, earth. It's from there. Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? Jesus answered and said, you say rightly, I am a king. For this cause I was born. And for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. What is that truth? The truth that he is king. And you have heard his voice. And you either bear witness to it, or you say he is or he isn't. That's what he's saying. You either know I'm king and accept it, or you don't. Hallelujah. Let me read you some kingdom declarations of Jesus or about Jesus. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom. And healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God And all these things, what things? Things. Stuff will be added to you. Jesus said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom, not keys to the kingdom. I will give you the keys of the kingdom. There are kingdom keys that unlock things. So we have to get two things. We got to get the keys, and we got to find which lock it fits. You ever lose a key? Or find, here's the keys, and now you got the key. You're walking around. What does it fit? I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Wow. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Jesus said in Matthew 25, the king will say to those on his right hand, come you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I'm going to read that again. The king, that's Jesus, is saying this. The king will say to those on his right hand, come you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. When Jesus was born and the star appeared, kings from other lands traveled. Now, when kings travel, they just don't get on a horse and travel by themselves. Do you know wherever a king travels, that's where the kingdom is? You know, we think of Washington, D.C. being the seat of our governmental power, which it is. But if the king of Spain leaves Spain and goes to Haiti, the kingdom is now in Haiti. The king says, this is what I want done. You don't go back to Spain and say, hey, let's check in with the seat of power. Can we do that? No, the king is now, that's the colony. Are you tracking with me? What the king says is the law. He makes the declaration. He is the seat of power. Hallelujah. And so when these kings traveled, they saw the star. And somehow they wind up there in Bethlehem, and they go into Herod's place, and they said, where is this one born king of the Jews? And the people told him, and they found him. And, of course, Herod was insecure. Kings can be insecure when a bigger king comes around. Is somebody else taking my throne? You have a throne. Is it subject to the king? Hallelujah. So Jesus came, and he died for us. He reconnected us back to a place that we had lost. He went down into hell, and he got the keys of hell and of death. And he holds those keys. He reconnected us and he redeemed us and restored us as kings and priests. Do you know that you are a king and a priest? Little K, little P. Why are you a king and a priest? Because the king says, I want representatives of mine on the earth to extend my influence and my power. Hallelujah. Revelation 1:5. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You are a little king and a little priest. How much kingly stuff are you doing? How much priestly stuff are you doing? When I think of the sanctity of Human Life Sunday, and I'm thinking, how am I going to tie all this together? I have preached many messages on the sanctity of human life, and I will continue. And I have spent hours before a sanctity of life message looking at stats, looking at videos, looking at pictures that I hate to see. I hate it. And we know that Jeremiah told us, before you were formed in the womb, God knew you. And the stats are overwhelming. Let me just hit you with a few. In the United States, 1.2 million abortions per year. That's 3,315 a day. That's 138 every hour. That's 2 every minute. That's 1 every 30 seconds. They will tell you that heart disease is the leading cause of death, but it's not. Abortion is the leading cause of death. Planned Parenthood in 2016 murdered 328,348 people. Every year, over $500 million of our taxpayer money goes to Planned Parenthood, who does not do mammograms. When life begins is, when I first started preaching at this church in 2002, there was discussion over when life begins. Technology has now just debunked that. They don't fight that battle anymore. And I used to think, if we could just prove that life begins at conception, but no, because it's an evil, that's not going to stop them. We must remember, God is not only anti-abortion, he is pro-life. Okay? He helps the helpless. He defends the innocent. He heals the sick. He is kind. He is gracious. He is a benevolent, gracious, kind king. And what I want to take away today in the introduction of this series on the kingdom of God and trying to tie in the sanctity of human life is this: you and I are kings and priests unto our God. We are influencers in this world for his kingdom. You are more important than you think you are. You are more important than you think you are. You have kingly authority. Jesus came in Matthew 28, 18. Jesus came and spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Because that's where he was. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations." Luke 10, 16, Jesus said, "He who hears you, hears me. He who rejects you, rejects me. And he who rejects me, rejects him who sent me." You have kingly authority. But as a 21st century American Christian, make sure you are speaking for the king and not for yourself and your opinion, and your Facebook defense. You are a king. You have priestly authority. That means you intercede on behalf of other people. 2 Corinthians 5:11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. You see, because there's a day coming when the king is going to say, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. It's fearful. There's a healthy fear of the king we should have. Verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. How can you affect a sanctity of life, an abortion decision? You share with people you know. You position yourself, your life, your essence, your being, who you are in such a way that you are approachable by people and you speak as one with authority because you've got the closeness of the king. You are a senator. You are ecclesia. You are part of the cabinet of God, and the gates of hell will not prevail. You have more power and authority than you think you have. You are an influencer. You are a king. You are a priest. I want to close with this, the king's love. And I'm going to use an earthly example. You guys know I have a super dog. Our son, when he went off to the Marines, he left us a dog named Loki. And my wife wanted to keep this dog. He had two dogs, Moose and Loki. Moose he got rid of. Loki he couldn't get rid of. The time was coming for him to leave. And he said, Mom, will you take care of the dog? And so my wife comes and says, I'd like to keep this dog. And I'm like the typical husband, I don't want to keep this dog, you know. But a miracle happened, and I said, okay, let's keep the dog, and I'll even be nice about it. I will not, when the dog messes in the house, I will not say, your dog, you know, I told you. You know, I'm just going to say, all right, I'm going to embrace this dog. Well, now I love this dog. This dog is awesome. He is a flat coat retriever. Black, shiny, and he has the great disposition. And one day, he just greets you. He's tender. He's great with kids. One day when I was putting replacement windows in our house, and I'm upstairs in the bedroom, and I've got the whole window out, it's completely exposed, he's up there with me. And outside of this window is our porch. And then off the porch is the ground, 10 feet down. And as I'm there working, Bebo pulls in the driveway. He sees her. He jumps through the window onto the porch and then off the porch, clears the sidewalk, hits the ground, stumbles just a little bit, and runs over and greets Bebo. My neighbor said, did your dog just jump off the roof? He did. So he's my super dog. Now this dog, Caleb had rescued, or something has happened to this dog because he was abused. He is skittish. And so it took a little while for the king's love to come through. And now when I come home, and the queen's love, she feeds him. You ever notice dogs love whoever feeds them? Whoever takes care of them? Whoever provides for them? Whoever their king, benevolent king is, they love. And when I come home, that dog jumps up and greets me. And then when I get ready to go upstairs, he runs up ahead of me, and I walk up the stairs, and he's like right up here, and when I get about right here, he sets up, he'll put one paw up and do this, and then I'll reach out to him, and he takes the other paw and he puts each paw on the shoulder. It's true. And I lean in and I give him a hug and I kiss his face. And I pull back and he'll still, and I shake hands with him. And then I'll say, come on, and he'll run and get on the bed and wait for me to get in there and take a nap with him. He's the best dog. Because I'm a good king. And my wife is a great queen. And we have the best king ever. Better than this king and this queen. And the world doesn't know this. But you are a king and a priest representing the king. And you have power. And you have authority. And look, I know when we hear about power and authority, we immediately take, let's heal the sick. And I'm all for that. But let's save innocent lives by using our closeness to God and influencing those that are lost. Will you do that? Will you take your place as a king and a priest? Will you bow your head right now? I'm going to challenge. Bow your head. Close your eyes. I'm going to challenge you. Has this message affected you in a way that it just intrigued you in some way? If it has, just lift your hand up and put it back down. Yep, okay. Are you willing to step away from being a 21st century democratically inspired American and start thinking like a citizen of the kingdom of heaven? If you're willing to start doing that, just lift your hand up and put it back down, okay? Are you willing to take your honorable and responsible place as a kingdom citizen, as a member of the Lord's cabinet, and execute his strategy? If you are, lift your hand up and put it down. Thank you. God, we surrender to you this morning. We need you so bad, Lord. Our nation needs you. Lord, one man prayed when his nation was in bad shape. You said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Lord, help us. Help us. Help us to be the influencers that you have called us to be. Thank you, God. Reveal to more of us about the kingdom of heaven. We desire you, God. We desire to know you and your ways. And Lord, I thank you for these people right here. I pray your blessing on each and every one of them. I pray for them as kings and priests, Lord, they would be effective. I pray as mothers and daddies, they would be effective. I pray as grandparents, great-grandparents, you would use them, Lord. Thank you for each one of them, Lord. I bless them in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Do not fear, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's just stand and let's just praise our King for just tell him thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. We bless your holy name. Thank you, Lord. You are so good. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, that you are a good King. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We give you honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. If you need prayer, come on up. Have a wonderful, wonderful day and week. Stay warm.